Your speaker for this lesson is G.K. Wallace.
Now, if you have your Bible and will open to the book of Daniel, the second chapter first, we shall begin reading with verse 44, and then call your attention to the context. The record said, and in the days of those kings, now if you're lost, just remember in the moment when we have finished, we will identify these kings. It'll be necessary to know about them in order to appreciate what he said. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For so much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. I don't have much problem with the interpretation. The dream is certain. The interpretation of the dream is certain. And when I see the interpretation of the dream, I have the interpretation of the prophecy, and it's sure. But here's a prophecy concerning the setting up of a kingdom that will last forever. And it is to be in the days of the kings who were mentioned just preceding this. In order to get some of these matters in focus, let me call your attention to the situation, religious, that's about us. There are people in the world just as sincere and honest as can be found anywhere, anytime, who conscientiously believe that Jesus did not establish his kingdom when he came. They came to build a kingdom, but the Jews rejected him, and that aborted his plans. He put it off. Then he went back to heaven. Then he's going to come back to establish his kingdom. And when he comes back to establish his kingdom, he will have his throne in Jerusalem, and he'll live and reign there like David. But there will be a literal, earthly, temporal kingdom with states, as you see, probably as it was in the time of old Solomon and David. That preceding his coming to set up that kingdom, which is the prevalent view today, that preceding the coming of Christ to reign here on earth in a literal temporal kingdom, there will be a secret private coming. That he'll come quietly in a manner that nobody will know, and that people who are his children now will just disappear. You see signs of it with bumper stickers. If Christ comes, grab this wheel. Now that seems a little strange to you, but that's the teaching. It has been made quite popular today, and especially by a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. In this book, it speaks of such a time like this, and it says that there will be an ultimate trip, a project disappearance. And he illustrates it by saying that people were driving down the freeway and suddenly the place went crazy. Cars went in every direction. A fellow in his car just suddenly disappears, doesn't even make a hole in the top. Just goes away and turns the car loose on the highway. Maybe leaves it in the parking lot. He pictures a football game being played. They're right down on the goal line, and the quarterback just disappears. He's gone. He pictures the United Nations. Some of the leaders disappeared. That's hard for me to conceive of anybody in that particular situation. Then you'll hear him talking about some father comes home and he calls for his wife and he can't find her. She's gone. She just disappeared. Now they call that rapture. The word rapture is a good word. It simply means to be caught up. The Bible does teach that his children will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But there isn't anything secret about that. The apostle teaches in the Thessalonian letter about the coming of Christ. And he doesn't teach that the living are going to run off and leave the dead. He teaches that when he comes, that before the living righteous are caught up, the dead will be raised. And of course, all the dead will be raised. Then we together. That's what the passage teaches. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. We won't come back. Now, these people are saying you'll be caught up and stay up there for 7 years and come back. Now, the Mormons say it's momentary. You'll just be caught up in just a moment, and then you'll be right back. They're not certain about that. Of course, there isn't anything in the passage that says anything except that it's permanent. When you go to meet the Lord, but they say this is a secret, private, quiet coming. Nobody will know it. But I don't know how they get the quietness out of it. For the Lord of heaven shall descend from heaven with a shout. This coming, there's the shout, the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet. Doesn't sound very quiet to me. There'll be a trumpet. There'll be a shout. This is a picture of the coming of Christ at the end of the world. If Christ were to come today, you wouldn't go off and leave your loved ones in the graveyard. They would be raised. And then you, as a living person, as a Christian, would be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But they spin a theory of a quiet, secret departure. There are variations of it. Our good friends in the Jehovah's Witness Church, they say that'll be this year. So if you miss them, you'll know where they're going. They're all going away. But one of the difficult things for me to understand is how that when people not only do not have passages that can continue to believe in spite of conditions that prevailed and have prevailed. I can remember, and they say when you start reminiscing, your past is showing. When Charles T. Russell, the founder, at that time called International Bible Students, was saying that the world would end in 1914. And people around the little town where I lived in Texas, some of them sold their possessions, getting ready to meet the Lord. Of course, I don't know what they thought they would do with them. What they did with them is turn them over to Charles T. Russell. But they were getting ready to go. Then he changed the date, said to be 1916. The Lord didn't come, and the organization floundered for a while. A man by the name of Rutherford, from over here in Missouri, was called Judge Rutherford. He was judged because he was judge of a minor court. He began to teach that in 1925, the Lord would come back to earth and establish his kingdom and would be here, and that the saints of old would be raised from the dead. That if you were alive in 1925, you never would die. He put out a book called Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And you can't buy that book from these people. You can buy it in a Bridgeton accountant, but you cannot find, for love of money, the book they've hid under the table. Millions now living will never die. They said in 1925, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be living here on this earth. Have you seen Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? Old raccoon John Smith, a pioneer preacher, when he was preaching, wore an old coon skin cap. That's the reason they called him coon skin raccoon John Smith. He went on to the university campus, and some of the students thought they'd have some fun out of the old backwoods preacher. They made it up, and they met him. The first one came up and said, "Good morning, Abraham." He said, "Good morning, son." The other one came up and said, "Good morning, Isaac." He said, "Good morning, son." Another came up and said, "Good morning, Jacob." He said, "Good morning, son." He said, "Wait, young men. I'm neither Abraham, Isaac, nor Jacob. I'm Saul, the son of Kish. Out looking for my father's asses, and now I have found them." But they said in 1925, the Lord would be back. Now that's what you have on the airways. That's the import, Herbert Armstrong. That's the book of Billy Graham's teaching. Maybe not on this secret departure, but that the Lord's coming back to build a literal temporal kingdom. And today, the excitement is over the conditions in the Middle East. That all of this is a prophetic arrangement for the coming of Christ to rule and reign here upon earth in a literal temporal kingdom. There are certain facts that all to which all of them admit that are pertinent, that they call important events first. Before the kingdom of Christ is established, the Jewish nation would be reborn in the land of Palestine. Secondly, the Jews would repossess Old Jerusalem and the sacred site. Thirdly, they would rebuild their ancient temple of worship upon its historic site. These three cardinal principles that are proclaimed and accepted have been spelled out plainly in the Bible. Before Christ could come and build his kingdom, the Jews must go back to Jerusalem. They did. They were in captivity. Before the kingdom of Christ could be established, they had to go back to their land. They did. Before the kingdom of Christ could be established, they had to repossess old Jerusalem. They did. Before the kingdom of Christ could be established, according to the prophets, the ancient temple had to be rebuilt. It was. Now, there isn't a principle that's announced and proclaimed that hasn't been fulfilled as much so as the virgin birth. Suppose I stand here tonight and tell you that the prophet said that a virgin would conceive. To tell you that Jesus Christ is to come into this world and to be born of a virgin. He said, "Brother Wallace, the prophet said that, and the history records it." Thank you. Every prophecy concerning the restoration of Israel has been fulfilled and is a historical fact. Sometimes I hear people saying that we don't have prophetic preaching. First, we do not recognize the realm of the prophets. In the Hebrew letter, division 1, in verse 1, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake unto the fathers through the prophets, But unto us in these last days through his Son. The prophets are not the criteria of the New Testament church, but the Son of God. He spake to the fathers through the prophets. He speaks to us through his Son. In order to understand the realm of the prophet, his realm is not the New Testament realm, it's the realm of the Son of God. They were the spokesman and the criteria for the old to the fathers. But unto us, it's the Son of God. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared, Jesus said, the voice from the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." We're to listen to Christ. Now, when you start studying the Bible, young people, here are some books, and this is a library. It's a library made up of several volumes. If we had a bookshelf here, a bookcase, and there are only four shelves, and suppose all these Old Testament books are separate and bound separately, are bound separately. And here they are, in separate volumes, and I ask you to put them on the bookshelf, where would you put them? Now, when these books were placed in this library, they took the law books and put them on the top shelf. On the second shelf, they put the history books. On the top shelf, they put the law books, the history books, then the books of poetry. On the bottom shelf, they put the books of prophecy. They're not placed there according to date, according to title. If it's a prophecy, they put it in the back part of the Bible. But it may be much older than some that appear. Now, here's a prophecy of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel, and of Daniel. Here's Daniel and Ezekiel speaking of the return of Israel to captivity. That God told them when they had been dispersed that he would bring them back. Just reach up here on the top shelf or the second shelf and get you a history book. Take the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. These historians, Nehemiah, closes practically the Old Testament. And he tells you, he's a divine historian, that the restoration prophecies were fulfilled. They were dispersed. God said, "I'll bring you back." Nehemiah said, "They did." They were dispersed. God said, "You'll rebuild your temple." And the book of Nehemiah is a record of the rebuilding it. Every prophecy concerning the restoration of Israel, according to the divine historian, has been fulfilled. There is not one. There is not a line. There is not a sentence concerning the restoration of Israel to Palestine that the divine record doesn't tell us has already been fulfilled. Now, isn't it sad that men take prophecies that have been fulfilled and tell the young people of the world that they're yet in the future? That's a sad situation. Now, one of the main prophecies that they use is Daniel. Daniel did talk of the restoration of Israel, but all of the prophets and of the prophets included not only a literal kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom made up of all the redeemed of the earth, of all peoples, every race and nation. Now, the prophecies of the return to Palestine were fulfilled. But here is a prophecy of Daniel concerning a kingdom to be established that'll last forever. In the days of those kings, here's the background. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it worried him. He saw a statue, if I may use that term. A great statue, I guess it looked like Dracula, because its brightness was excellent and its aspect was terrible. When he looked at this, he saw this statue head of gold, and its breast and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs were of brass, and its legs and feet of iron and of clay. Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, here's what this means. He said, that represents four kingdoms. Said, you are the head of gold. That's the Babylonian. Now, you can't miss that. Now, he said, count them off. One, two, three, four. In the time of the fourth world universal kingdom, will the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Here's the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. It was in the days of the Caesars Jesus Christ was born. And did you know that every premillennialist on earth has to rebuild the Roman Empire to get the Lord back to the earth? Because he knows that the Roman Empire had to be in existence. It was in the days of the Roman Empire that Jesus Christ came. In the days of these kings, will the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Now, I turn to Daniel 7. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel tells about it, when it will be. And I saw the night vision, behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man. And he came even to the ancient of days. The ancient of days is God. Daniel looked down the stream of time. He said, in the days of the Roman Empire, I see the Son of Man on a cloud going to God. Pick up the first chapter of the book of Acts. You find when Jesus had talked to his disciples or apostles, the records had a cloud received him out of sight. Daniel says, 600 years before Christ, I see on the cloud. Now watch what Daniel says in his prophecy. He said, I saw one like the Son of Man, and he came even to the ancient of days. He wasn't coming from God. He was going to God. Jesus lived in this world. He made preparation for his kingdom, but before he could receive that kingdom, he had to go to God. The kingdom was to be given to Christ when he went to God. In Acts 1, on a cloud, he went to God. That's Daniel's prophecy. The prophecy concerning the literal return to Palestine, Nehemiah says, was fulfilled in Ezra. The temple was built. They were there when Jesus Christ came. Many times Jesus taught in the temple that had been rebuilt. But Daniel says, in the days of the Roman Empire, the Son of Man will leave this world on a cloud and go to God. And there be given to him the kingdom. Did he receive it? Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, And I hear him saying, having been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his son. The people at Colossae were in the kingdom. They were translated out of the power of darkness. They were in the kingdom. When Jesus was in this world, he said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. If you've been born of the water and the Spirit, you're in the kingdom. Now, isn't it sad that young people are being taught that the kingdom of Christ has not been established? If the kingdom of Christ is not here, there's no new birth. If there's no new birth, there are no Christians. If the kingdom has not been established, then Jesus didn't get what he went to get when he ascended to God on a cloud. Now, he is coming back on a cloud, but he's not coming back on a cloud to receive a kingdom. He went to God, not from God. Daniel says he went to God. When he comes from God on a cloud, he said, you'll see him coming in like manner as he went away. Paul says in the 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 15, that when he comes back, he will deliver up the kingdom. He couldn't deliver it up if he didn't have it. When he comes back to this earth, he won't come to establish the kingdom. He'll come to deliver it up. He has it now. The situation in Palestine today is tragic. I do not begrudge those people a national home, but that isn't God's program. That's a human project. They have a legal right, but not a divine right, because the divine promise was fulfilled. And what ought to be said to those people? They ought to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the saddest scenes in all the world will take place at the Passover. It has occurred at the Passover feast over the years. They have their Passover feast in the home. There'll be a vacant chair and an extra plate. And in the prayer, in the service of the Passover, they'll pray for the coming of the Messiah. Isn't it sad that these preachers don't tell them the Messiah's already come? That Jesus is the King. That his kingdom, not of this world. That the prophet spake of a kingdom that's universal. And will last until Christ comes back again. But I recognize what some are thinking. I anticipate this because I'm aware of what's being said from time to time. Somebody says, well, Brother Wallace, the book of Revelation teaches that there will be upon this earth a literal temporal kingdom, that Christ will come back to build his kingdom. There are a lot about the book of Revelation I do not know, but here's one thing that I know, about which I'm certain. John says these things are signified, that is, signified. There are many signs and symbols in the book of Revelation, but before John introduces a single sign or a single symbol, listen to it. Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. He said to these churches, brethren, he made us to be a kingdom. I don't get lost. We're the kingdom, God's people. That's the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. It's universal. That he came and built. In the time of the last of the four great world rulers. He made us to be a kingdom. And then John stops and says, I'm in it. I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom. He said, we're the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Paul said the people of Colossae were in the kingdom. Jesus said to new birth, put you in the kingdom. And it's so sad today that men will take prophecies that the divine historian tells us that have been fulfilled and project them out into the future, and to confuse so many fine, sincere people, and to keep the Jews in infidelity. That's keeping them by the multiplied thousands from obeying the gospel. It is a device of Satan, a stumbling block. If there's anything that's taught and plainly taught in the Bible is that God's people are in the kingdom. John said, I'm in it. And Daniel said, it'll be given to him when he leaves this earth and goes on the cloud back to God. And Paul says, when he comes, he'll deliver up that kingdom to God. It'll be a subject to himself. Now, that'll be the time of the great rapture. When Jesus comes back, there'll be no secret about it, because every person will know. Every eye shall see him. He'll come with the shout, with the voice of an archangel. The dead will be raised. All the dead are in their graves will hear his voice. The judgment will be set. And then God's people will go with him to be in that eternal home or eternal kingdom. What a wonderful and blessed privilege it is to be a child of God in the kingdom and to work for the King. Is he your King? You can come into that kingdom by simply believing in him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins and from them, turning away, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He'll make you his child. You'll be in his kingdom.
Your speaker was G.K. Wallace.